They themselves plunder Yemen's natural resources. So to answer your question, according to Abdul Malik al-Ajri again, the Sana'a government is willing to pay the salaries of all government employees provided they are given control of the oil and gas resources of Yemen. So the Yemeni resistance led by Ansarullah is promising to resume military operations unless the puppet government repatriates Yemen's stolen financial reserves and lifts the blockade.
Wow. So basically the Presidential Council is just taking all the gains and profits from the resources, the oil and gas, and they are refusing to pay money and telling the rebels, go pay them yourselves. That's just a 101 cartel happening in Yemen. But the next confrontation is set by many observers that it will be an energy battle par excellence, knowing that Sana'a is ready to impose a new military equation in light of its growing military air and sea capabilities. But will Saudi Arabia, do you think Saudi Arabia, will it risk everything that it has given the ongoing huge demand for oil and gas in Europe? Will they just not give Ansarullah what they want and risk a new explosion in one of their Aramco refineries?
The problem for Yemen is that Saudi Arabia right now can actually afford to take a risk precisely because oil prices are high. However, this also means that those of us who want to see this war end should be making the argument that ending the Saudi-led war on Yemen will actually put downward pressure on oil prices. The problem for the rest of the world is that Saudi Arabia does not have the ability or the capacity to increase production beyond around 10 or 11 million barrels per day. They really struggle to get more than around 10 million barrels per day, and they can only sustain that for about a month. And this is what the Saudis have been claiming that they're pumping out now. They're claiming to be pumping around 10 or 11 million barrels per day. And also, like, on top of that, OPEC Plus has agreed to cut production even further. The only reason oil prices appear to have stabilized over the past few months is because the U.S. is flooding the market with its strategic reserves, which have fallen to levels that haven't been seen since 1984. So if on top of this, the Yemeni resistance are able to inflict the kind of damage that we witnessed in September 2019 when the resistance attacked the Aramco facilities, then that could force the Saudis to drop oil production by, let's say, about a million barrels per day for around a month. So the question for Saudi Arabia is whether they care more about protecting the banking fortunes of these corrupt Yemeni officials who betrayed their country, or whether they care more about the safety of their oil infrastructure.
Mm-hmm. So well, the key it remains to be seen. I'm pretty sure that the upcoming months up until the new year will be heavy everywhere on this planet, especially in the region of West Asia. I want to thank you very much, Dr. Jay Therapel, researcher, academic, and political commentator, for joining us to talk about this matter. Thank you. I hope that you found this episode to be an educating one, despite all the fake news that you're getting from, especially from the Western mainstream media, concerning our problems here in West Asia. Thank you very much, and I'll see you again next week. Fi amanillah.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and congratulations to all on the blessed birthday anniversary of the Seal of Messengers, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. Today also happens to be the birthday anniversary of the Holy Prophet's sixth infallible successor, Imam Ja'far Sadiq, peace be upon him. In honor of this day of double blessing, we have selected for you an enlightening statement from the Holy Prophet. I was sent by God to complete the best of morals. congratulations to all our IRIB listeners on the occasion of 17th of Rabi al-Awwal, the birth anniversary of the Prophet of Islam, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. Today is in fact a day of double celebration. We celebrate the birth anniversary of the sixth infallible successor of the Holy Prophet of Islam, Imam Ja'far Sadiq, peace be upon him. Congratulations to all our Muslim listeners on this very auspicious occasion.
IRIB English Radio presents
Viewpoints.
The presence of different scholars.
And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light.
The Creator made Adam in his image, then placed the world in his care. May you walk alongside the Creator in righteousness.
God of Abraham, take my child into thy hands, that he may live to thy service.
God has spoken to us before, through Abraham, Noah, Moses, and through Jesus Christ. Why should we be so surprised that God speaks to us now through Muhammad?
Viewpoint.
A critique of movies with religious themes on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Viewpoint on IRIB English Radio. With me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and my guest speakers in the program or in the studio are Brother Sayyid Abdullah and Sister Asma. Brother Sayyid Abdullah, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to the program.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me.
Welcome. Sister Asma, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to the program.
Wa alaikum assalam. What's your service?
Welcome. Well, we are talking about or criticizing the movie Dune, produced in 2021, directed by Denis Villeneuve, from a couple of episodes ago onward up until now. And inshallah, and hopefully we are going to continue criticizing this movie because we haven't finished in the previous episodes about it. But before that, let's take a listen to a short part of the movie Dune, and then we'll get back. Stay with us.
Did you have to go that far?
You chose to train him in the way, in defiance of our rule. He wields our power. He had to be tested, to the limits. So much potential wasted in a male. You were told to bear only daughters, but you in your pride thought you could produce the Kwisatz Haderach.
Was I wrong?
You're lucky he didn't die in that room. If he is the one, he has a long way to go. His sight is barely awakened, and now he goes into the fire. But our plans are measured in centuries. We have other prospects. If he fails his promise.
Back to the program Viewpoint on RIB English Radio. Well, we are trying to criticize the movie Dune, produced in 2021, directed by Denis Villeneuve, with Sister Asma and Sayyid Abdullah. Sayyid Abdullah, let me start this episode with you about this important concept of Messiah, Savior, Mahdaviya, sort of, right? You know, they are talking about in that part about the one with so much power. We see this kind of theme recurrently appearing here and there, like in the movie Matrix, right?
Yeah.
The one.
Yeah.
You keep hearing it, you know? Well, this notion of savior, is that the idea of Mahdaviyat in every sect, in every religion, in every culture?
Well, literally, you just opened Pandora's box.
Exactly.
Because this whole thing is all about, isn't it? Yeah, the Messiah and Mahdaviyat.
Yeah,
true. And even the second novel is called The Messiah.
Yeah.
So we're expecting the next movie to be about the Messiah himself.
Right.
Now, like I said, I think I mentioned in one of the other episodes, that the concept of the one or the Messiah, so depending on how you want to refer to it, be the one who be the Messiah is a concept embedded in the mind of a human being since the creation,
mm-hmm.
right? And thus, you see that all the civilization, be it religious or non-religious,
mm-hmm.
they all prophesized a Messiah concept or a Messiah figure. Even if you go to the Aztecs themselves,
yes.
they predicted the Messiah.
Yeah.
You go to philosophy, in philosophers, they predicted the Messiah. If you go to the Greek mythology, they predicted the Messiah. If you go to even, you know, the Zardoshians and all religions, they all had the Messiah. Even the Buddhists, they believe in the Messiah. Even the Hindus believe in the Messiah. There is no sect, no religion, no, at least let's say, a mind made kind of theology or mm-hmm. ideology that does not have the concept of a Messiah
yes.
that will come at the end of times and cleanse the earth of corruption and what have you and create a sense of justice. So this is a concept shared amongst the humanity, I would say, rather yes. than a specific religion. However, from one religion to another, from one culture to another, that personality changes. So, for example, the Jews...
About its example, they have their conflicts about, right?
Yes. So when it comes to the details of the personality changes, so for example, if you look at it from a Jewish perspective, they call it the Messiah
yes.
or the Messi. When you come to Christianity, they call it Isa alayhi salam, or even the Messiah.
Yes.
When you look at him from a Buddha perspective, they call it Buddha. You look
Buddha,
at it from,
yeah.
For whatever religion you look at, they give you, when it comes to the details, they give you a different personality.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of the actual personality, it's a common thing between them. It's a common denominator between all religion and all faiths and all logics,
yes,
right?
That's right.
The details, they differ.
True.
Now, the thing is, a lot of religion, if you compare them in terms of the personality of the Messiah,
mm-hmm.
Most religions, they give you little detail to nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So most religions, for example, they talk about the time when the Messiah comes and what happens, but they don't talk about the Messiah himself. Where right. in Islam, for example, it gives you an ample examples of who the Messiah is, an absolute description of the Messiah himself from head to toe, which, mind you, a lot of Muslims don't even know that.
Right.
If you tell them, describe to me the Messiah, they would have no idea. Where in Islam, the Prophet and the Imams, they give an absolute description from his head to his toe, to
mm-hmm.
even the fact, to the details that they would say he would even have, in winter, he would have dandruff, to that precise. So in Islam, we have an ample details of who the Messiah is. Now, clearly,
and probably that's why even I've heard Joe Biden's hired actually a person like an advisor on Islamic
yeah,
studies to teach him about the hidden imam. You know?
Exactly. Yes. That was during Eid when he was delivering a speech and he said, I didn't know much about the hidden imam. They had to teach me.
Yes.
It is so embedded in the minds of the Westerners now about the Messiah, especially those who are in high power.
Yeah.
They know it for a fact that the imam will come. And then they have to prepare for him. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So those who, like for example, in the American system, in the political system, they have to be ready for the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
They actually, I'm not sure if you know this, they have an entire building dedicated to the research about the Mahdi.
Mm-hmm.
And
nice.
And I mean, if I have to go into this, I will open another Pandora's box.
Yeah.
So let's close it.
Yeah.
So the concept of Mahdawiyah, it's in the mind of people.
Right.
And so now you just need to bring that personality and show it to people. Now, with this movie, you have to keep in mind, they trying to tell you that there is a Mahdawiyah
mm-hmm.
because they mentioned the word Mahdi twice.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And they look at the preciseness of this. One, the first time that Mahdi was mentioned, they said to him, do you think you are the Mahdi?
Mm-hmm.
And the boy did not say nothing. And says to him, you are too young to be the Mahdi.
Mm-hmm.
And then the lady at the end, she says to him, I don't think you are the Mahdi because you're too young.
Yes.
They compared Mahdi with young. Why? Because we have so many narrations that tells us when the imam comes out. I mean, he's over 1,882 years old.
Mm-hmm.
When he comes out, he says he will come out looking like a boy in his 30s,
mm-hmm.
a young man.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the preciseness of these guys. They're very precise. They mentioned Mahdi with looks, the two things that they combine
yes.
together. So in this movie, the whole idea was about the Messiah that comes and saves people. And they made it very clear, abundantly clear. He's not there to save Arrakis. He's there to save the entire universe,
yes.
mind you. They
yes.
said universe. And even the universe itself, it has a box of its own.
Yes.
Where I want to even open as well.
Yeah.
They did not even say Earth or not even Arrakis.
Yes.
They said the entire universe. He said a holy war will be led in my name to save the entire universe. I mean, are they saying there are other creatures beyond us?
Exactly. That's another story.
Another story. So the idea is of the Messiah is embedded in the minds of people. Now Hollywood, mind you, this is not the first attempt to bring the Messiah. I think we discussed the X-Men. There are other movies that are more direct and precise about the one of the Messiah. Even in The Matrix, for example, the one that will come and save. And they, even in The Matrix, for example, they say, okay, there were many before you did not succeed. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah, true.
As we call them, those who, many people who are claimed to be the Mahdi, but they weren't.
Yeah.
The one, like you said.
Yeah, exactly.
So like I said, this concept is basically the pillar of this movie.
Yes.
And this is exactly where the writer, or even the director in this case, wanted the viewer to get to. That this personality is actually coming.
So is it because they want the audience to get familiar and be aware of that fact? Or is it just because there is the urge in the audience to see that sort of thing?
Look, and when you look at Hollywood, you have to keep in mind it's an evil organization. It's based on evil. It's not there to educate people or to give glad tidings to people. Like, as we say, Nadir and Wabashir. They're not doing tabshir. They're not doing preaching.
So what they are deviating us from what we have.
You will see, inshallah, when part two comes on and so forward, that personality himself, they will degrade it to the lowest of points.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right? That's the idea. So what they're saying is that when a figure comes out to be acclaimed the Messiah, that's a false one.
Yeah.
Fight him in any way possible.
Exactly, yeah, true.
That's the aim. They done the exact same thing with X-Men Apocalypse.
Yeah.
I keep always referring to it because it's the most precise movie about the Imam alayhi salam. Right? So they're saying if such a figure comes, even if he comes with powers, even if he comes with things that he can do that that human beings cannot do, do not believe him. He's a false messiah.
And he said in the movie also, he said that they were talking about him, pointing at him, and he said to his mom that all these things are superstition.
Yeah, he kept saying that it's superstition, that he did not believe in them. Even though with him having visions, he still doesn't want to believe them. He still doesn't want to have anything to do with it. So, and I'll end with this. The character himself is a gay person. He's literally, like in his personal life, he's gay.
Yeah.
So why would you bring a messiah and give a character who's gay to play him in the first place?
Mm-hmm.
So you can see how they're trying to degrade this concept of the Messiah from the beginning.
Yes, true indeed. I will ask you more about the Messiah and Mahdaviyah, of course, in fact, in the upcoming episodes. But because of the shortage of time, let's take a listen to another short of the part of the movie, June, produced in 2021, and then we'll be back.
What does it mean? That I could be the one.
You heard. The Bene Gesserit serve as powerful partners to the great houses. But there's more to it.
You steer the politics of the Imperium from the shadows. I know.
You don't know everything. For thousands of years, we've been carefully crossing bloodlines to bring forth
the one.
A mind. Powerful enough to bridge space and time, past and future, who can help us into a better future. We think he's very close now. Some believe he's here.
All part of a plan.
Back to the program Viewpoint on IRIB English Radio. We are still criticizing the movie June, produced in 2021, directed by Denis Villeneuve, with Sayyid Abdullah and Sister Asma. Sister Asma, you know, along with the concept of the one, the Mahdaviyah and the Messiah, what does it mean to be the one? What are the characteristics, you know, that go actually, you know, with or suit to be the one? For thousands of years, we've been crossing bloodlines, this is what they say in the movie, to bring forth a mind powerful enough to breach space and time, past and future, who can help us into a better future. So what are the expectations of a savior or a Mahdi?
Well, I guess I would say that believing that all the human beings have a collective unconscious and all of us are one, so we're searching for the very same thing. And that very same thing we believe in is the one who's going to come and save the entire world from all the tyrants, from all the oppressions, from all the miseries and poverties, whatever bad that, whatever evil that exists in this world. So he must be powerful. He must be resourceful.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He must be, as you saw, they're depicting him with some spiritual talent. Mm-hmm. He's linked with a deeper world.
Yes.
He is the voice of the outer world.
Exactly.
That is, he has got some links to the Almighty, mm-hmm. or whatever he is doing is going to be authentic. Yes. And that is the truth and nothing but the truth.
I see.
So he is the perfect idol of what we know as our in our heritage, Islamic heritage, we call these perfect creatures and infallible ones as our imams. So the one, I guess, is linked to our definition of our imams.
I see. Okay, thank you very much, Sister Asma and Sayyid Abdullah, for your nice contribution to the program Viewpoint on RIB English Radio, with me, Muhammad Jad, as the host of this program, and the rest of the crew. Until then, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With delight.
Robots are slowly but surely becoming part of everyday life, taking on human roles in different areas. Now, fast food restaurants can make French fries faster and better as a robot called Flippy 2 takes over the job.
When an order comes in through the restaurant system, it automatically spits out the instructions to Flippy. It takes a frozen product, fries it for the precise amount of time, and puts the finished product in the end. It does it faster, more accurately, more reliably, and happier than most humans do it.
Flippy 2 has been created in a robotic lab in California called MISO after 5 years of efforts by its developers. According to the project engineers, a really good understanding of the food science is needed to make sure the food quality is there, how different food sticks together, and how the temperature and heat affect it. The MISO CEO says the machine can cook several meals with different recipes simultaneously, removing the need for catering staff.
This technology utilizes a whole bunch of computer vision. There's cameras throughout the system, including right here we have these food identification cameras. The cameras not only guide the robot and tell it exactly where it is in space and how to move through this area, but also identifies the food type and it knows the recipe for each one.
The MISO CEO says tasks like the fry station are the kind that humans are most happy to afloat. The name Flippy comes from the original machine designed to flip burgers, which was not very useful for restaurants. A celebrated Chinese artist integrates his life experiences and the beauty of his homeland using his own distinctive style of traditional painting. Chen Jialing is known for his Chinese ink paintings. Chen brings to life the imaginative richness and culture through his depictions of landscape with every brush of color. He is most famous for breaking traditional painting techniques while staying within the framework of the art form. Chen says one of his favorite subjects is the Jianggong Mountains, especially during certain hours when the sunlight offers its own visual delights.
The composition of this painting is based on the main peak of the Jinggang Mountains, because the main peak is the most majestic and imposing, especially at noon. The sun shines on the trees, forming a contour light involving trees and the large mountains, which is extremely beautiful.
The 85-year-old artist has also used fused traditional landscape painting with modern technology. Though Chen has participated in numerous art exhibitions, but he says his first solo exhibit was held in his 70s, and that's when his career really took off. Chen says he plans to paint as much of his homeland's stunning scenery as possible during his lifetime.
Freedom is an essential virtue that is valued not only by humans but animals as well, just like two eagle owls that have been released into the wild after being born in a Madrid zoo. The two owl twins were freed after months of training to survive in the nature. First, they were taken to a big aviary to develop the necessary skills, including those for hunting prey. The aviary is designed to have a similar environment to the local mountain range. Meantime, they need to gain muscle and come to a suitable weight. After passing various skill tests, the owls are released as part of Madrid Zoo's breeding program of night birds of prey. 7 eagle owls and 11 barn owls have been released since the program was launched in 2017. However, some of them flew back seeking shelter as they failed to adapt to the nature.
On the outskirts of China's metropolis, Shanghai, a tiny island has been dubbed Cat Island as it provides shelter for stray animals. Since it opened last month, a charity based on the island is taking in cats mainly brought from Shanghai residents. These small carnivorous mammals are neutered and evaluated, and those with good temper and health are allowed to roam free on the island. The city's Stray Cats Management Center says their trap-neuter-release policy is to protect stray cats, limits their population, and maintain ecological balance. However, Shanghai has an estimated 200 stray cats per square kilometer, which means other methods will be needed to control the urban population, stray cats. A pair of baby panda twins make their debut appearance at the Chongqing Zoo in southwest China, with visitors flocking to cherish the abundance of cuteness.
Our returnee panda, Ershan, gave birth to the twin brother and sister on July 22nd this year. Currently, the elder brother weighs 4.3 grams and the younger sister weighs 0.6 grams. They're in good condition at present.
The twins' first public appearance was on Saturday, the first day of the week-long National Day holidays. During this week, the pair of giant panda cubs will be on display in the nursery of the panda house of the zoo. Their mother, Ershan, once lived in Canada as a goodwill envoy, but returned to her homeland in 2020. This was Ershan's second delivery of twins. A total of 21 pandas currently live in the Chongqing Zoo, which has been breeding giant pandas since the 1960s. The evolution of robots has been one of the fascinations of recent technological developments. And now the most cutting-edge achievements in that department were presented to the public during a conference in Beijing. The four-day annual World Robot Conference was held both offline and online. It featured three major events, including forum, expo, and competition. On display were more than 500 sets of robots from 130 companies from China and abroad. The conference gave an idea of how the future of humanity will be impacted by the automations. It shows how they can contribute to different sectors, from the restaurant industry and medicine to elderly care, agriculture and manufacturing.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
An aircraft powered by electricity may still be some way off, but one of its types is already here thanks to a whole range of innovative solutions being developed by aviation firms. American company Aviation Aircraft has debuted its all-electric plane in Washington State. The aircraft, named Alice, took off the runway at Grand County International Airport and flew for 8 minutes. It reached an altitude of 3,500 feet before touching down the ground. According to the company, the aircraft produces no carbon emissions, significantly reduces noise, and costs a fraction to operate compared to usual light jets. The company says it continues to develop and tweak the plane's battery system for an hour flight.
We're targeting a design criteria of 35 minutes for a charge. And so that'll be a charge for the typical route length. It's actually, as I just said, it's actually a design point. So going back to the comment I made earlier about designing batteries for aircraft, it's one of the considerations is how quickly do we want it to charge and how much power do you want to be able to draw from it. So again, we're targeting call it 30 minutes of charge for an hour of flight time, or about 2C if you're...
The company aims to find its way into the market for trips that sit between 150 and 250 miles, a range that features aircraft similar in size to Alice. It will also be for both commuter and cargo flights. For aircraft manufacturers, this paradigm shift is driving fuel savings in flight and on the ground, reducing carbon footprints and NOx emissions, while also improving reliability and cutting maintenance costs. Many people of the world are supported almost completely by animals because they live in areas unsuitable for animal husbandry. But these days, even some city dwellers are making their living out of animals, like a Virginia girl. Andrea Diaz quit her job at a restaurant and started to rent her pet alpacas to cheer up steer crazy Americans during the pandemic. Since the launch of her business in 2020, it has expanded from 2 to 14 alpacas. Interestingly, 5 with fluffy pets are regularly making a paid appearance at birthdays, weddings, restaurants, and offices. She charges a starting price of $95 per hour. Diaz says the best part is when there are kids' birthday parties, but even it's really a fun for the adults. She calls alpacas a good exposure because they attract people.
In most of its habitats, the heavily trafficked pangolin faces the biggest threat from humans. But in Taiwan, these gentle creatures are exposed to quite a different danger, feral dogs. In the island, a government policy has led to a surge in the population of feral dogs. The pangolins share most of their roaming area with the stray animals. Plus, these scaly animals cannot move as fast as their attackers. When faced with danger, pangolins curl themselves into a ball shape, but the tail still remains at the most outer side, and that's where the dogs hit them hard.
Ecuador's Galapagos National Park is testing different coral replanting methods in an effort to restore fragile underwater ecosystems around local islands.
These corals are important because they are recyclers in the ocean. They convert all the CO2 into oxygen. These corals are important because they are refuges, nurseries, and nursery areas for some fish species.
Coral reef die-offs affect the marine food supply chains and are considered a major climate tipping point. The experimental project is run by park rangers and volunteers in a bay on Santa Cruz Island. Since 2020, they have tested how corals reproduce when they are placed on surfaces like bricks, cement, or tied together and strung on metal frames. They're growing samples in a nursery before adding them to bay. The rangers are reporting improvements with the appearance of new fish near the replanted corals.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, dear brothers and sisters. Salaam alaikum and welcome to today's special from IRIB English Radio. Again, we have an auspicious day. Today is the birthday anniversary of two important characters in the world of Islam. The birthday anniversary of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, and Imam Sadiq, peace be upon him. So congratulations on this auspicious occasion.
Let us rejoice indeed. This is the day of Eid. Let us rejoice indeed.
Today, Friday, is the 17th of Rabiul Awwal, 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 22nd of Mehr, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 14th of October, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Accept our congratulations on the Unity Week and the birthday anniversary of Prophet Muhammad and Imam Sadiq, peace be upon them.
Every sound and every voice in every language ever heard, each drop of ink that has been used to write every single word, they could never portray everything I feel in my heart and wanna say. And it's hard to explain why I could never describe my love for you.
In this part, we'll look at the universal message of the Holy Prophet. Prophet Muhammad was sent by Allah with the universal message of Islam as the messenger of mercy, whose mission was foretold by all previous prophets over the different parts of the world. He preached brotherhood of humanity. Although born in Arabia, he never said the Arabs had any preference over the non-Arabs. Among his companions were Salman, the Persian, Suhaib, the Roman, Bilal, the black Abyssinian. According to the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, a true Muslim is the one from whose tongue and hands others are safe. A true Muslim should not oppress anyone, since oppression is a grave and unforgivable sin. Trampling the rights of others disrupts the psychological health of persons and is the most important factor for discord and separation. The seal of the prophets made it clear that Muslims should regard themselves as brethren of the same community, and anyone who is not concerned about the affairs of fellow Muslims is not a true Muslim. It means a Muslim should not betray another Muslim, let alone slander or kill him. As per the practice and behavior of Prophet Muhammad, a Muslim ought to be the mirror of his Muslim brother. Dear brothers and sisters, congratulations on the birthday anniversary of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his pure progeny, and our sixth Shia Imam, Imam Sadiq, peace be upon him.
Sheikh Rouhani.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In this episode, actually, we are going to talk about the role of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the 14 infallibles, I mean the A'imma Alayhim Salatu Wassalam, in establishing wahda and unity among Muslim Ummah. Wahda and unity was important for the Imams, but at the same time, they were spreading the true teachings of Islam. They were teaching Muslims the true message of Islam. They were trying to bet their best to convey, to deliver the true teachings and doctrines of Islam to the Muslim Ummah, but at the same time, they tried to preserve the unity among Muslims. So preserving unity does not mean to forget about the true teachings of Islam, to, for example, forget about the true doctrines of Islam. No, it doesn't mean that. For example, Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam, Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq, Imam Muhammad al-Baqir, Imam Rida alayhi salatu wasalam. This imma taught a lot, the Muslim ummah, the true teachings of Islam. But at the same time, they were trying their best to preserve the unity among Muslims. So sometimes we might misunderstand the unity, that if you want to preserve unity, we should forget about the true teachings and doctrines of Islam. No, it doesn't mean that. We can keep united. You can be a united ummah, but at the same time, we must be in search of true teachings and doctrines of Islam. This is what we should understand from the life of the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the lives of the infallibles. That unity among Muslim Ummah was one of their main objectives and purposes of their lives, of Islam, of the Quran, So that's why we must be very much cautious and aware about this important objective and purpose of our religion, Islam. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, a day you'll always remember every bar.
Today's a special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
Things any Muslim can personally do to help foster Islamic unity. Amongst them, heed the advice found in Surah Hujurat. This 49th chapter of the Holy Quran provides excellent guidance on the kind of behavior that Muslims should avoid to establish Muslim unity. For instance, Allah advises us to avoid mockery, defamation, and suspicion. These are all things which serve to divide us and create hatred, hurt, and dissension. Discuss the theme of Surah Hujurat relating to Muslim behavior in family meetings, study circles, and classes for young and old Muslims, khutbas, talks in your community to share this divine wisdom with all. Whenever you recall that you have done ghiba, or backbiting, against a Muslim or non-Muslim, you should remember that you need to seek that person's forgiveness. Doing this is a prerequisite to washing off that sin. You listen to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio on the birthday anniversary of Prophet Muhammad and Imam Sadiq, peace be upon them. So we offer our congratulations on this auspicious Eid. In this part, we'll look at the life and conduct of Imam Sadiq, peace be upon him. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam is the sixth Imam of Shia. His imamate lasted 34 lunar years and was concurrent with the reign of the last five Umayyad caliphs and with that of the first two Abbasid caliphs. Because of the weakness of the Umayyad rule at his time, Imam Sadiq was able to have relatively wider scholarly activities. His companions, students, and those who quoted hadith from him are said to have amounted to 4,000 people. Most of the hadith of Ahlul Bayt recorded in Shia hadith collections are from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Despite the weakness of the Umayyads and the requests from the Shia, Imam Sadiq did not rise up against the caliphate. To facilitate his contact with the Shia, Imam Sadiq, peace be upon him, established the network of deputyship. The activities of this network continued and expanded until the end of the minor occultation. The Imam was summoned several times to Baghdad, and thus he traveled to Iraq and also visited Karbala, Najaf, and Kufa. He showed the grave of Imam Ali, which was previously unknown to his companions. Some Shia scholars believe that Imam Sadiq alayhi salam was poisoned by Al-Mansur Al-Dawaniqi and thus martyred. He introduced Imam Kazim, peace be upon him, to his companions as his successor, but to protect the life of Imam Kazim, he mentioned in his will five people, including Al-Mansur, as the executors of his will.
my heartfelt congratulations for the birth anniversary of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and for the week of unity. Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam says, "Ilzamu al-jama'a wajtanibu al-furqa." Be always with the group of Muslims and believers who are united. Remain with the community. Avoid division, separation. Or in another place, وَإِيَّاكَ وَالْفُرْقَةَ فَإِنَّ الشَّاذَّ مِنَ النَّاسِ لِلشَّيْطَانِ كَمَا أَنَّ الشَّاذَّ مِنَ الْغَنَمْ لِلذِّئْبِ. If you have a group of, for example, sheep or goats, and one of them goes away, there is a great chance that wolf or wolves may get and kill and eat that sheep or goat, which is not remaining with the herd. Amir al-Mu'minin says, those who are not with Jama'ah, those who are not with the community of Muslims, and in the name of sectarianism or other names, they try to say we are special and the rest are not, you know, equal to us, so we cannot be united with them. So they end up with being alone. And then he says, أَشَّاذَ مِنَ النَّاسِ لِلشَّيْطَانِ. Those who isolate themselves and go away, they would be for Shaitan, pray for Shaitan. Shaitan would attack them easily, misguide them easily, take control of them easily. Alhamdulillah, it's now 14 centuries that Sunni Shias have lived together, and we have hundreds of millions of Sunnis and Shias. Of course, the majority is with the Sunnis, but we have hundreds of millions of Muslims from different schools in different countries have lived together for 14 centuries peacefully. But this is not enough. We need to maintain and build upon this experience and make ourselves more united and make such a strong bond of brotherhood among us that no challenge would be shaken our brotherhood.
Dear brothers and sisters, that was all for today's special from IRIB English Radio. You listen to this on a big occasion, an auspicious Eid, the birthday anniversary of the last Prophet of Allah, Muhammad al-Mustafa, peace be upon him, and his pure progeny, and Imam Sadiq, peace be upon him. Thank you very much, and till another episode of today's special, we leave you in Allah's protection. Have a nice time. Fi amanillah. La ilaha illa Allah, Allahu Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi, Aliyul Imami. La fata illa Ali, Aliyul Imami, Aliyul Imami, Aliyul Imami. La ilaha illa Allah, Allahu Rabbi, محمد نبي علي إمامي. لا فتى إلا علي، علي إمامي، علي إمامي، علي إمامي.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.